Welcome to Reach Mahjong's podcast. With you, as always, is Garth Nelson and
Jen Barr.
We run the Mahjong website, reachmahjong.com. We are reachable at Garth E, that's G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com. And what is your address?
Jen at reachmahjong.com, J-E-N-N.
All right. How's your Mahjong been recently? Have you been tearing it up out there, or do you have any comments on Mahjong?
I hate Mahjong.
Why do you hate Mahjong?
I'm playing Fight Club lately, and at the beginning of the month, you know, we were talking about Mahjong Fight Club, Konami's game. At the beginning of the month, I just could not win.
Wow.
And I went down in the negative. There's some people who play it know what club score is, but I was down like negative 200,000 or something. And then, In 2 days, I came back to positive almost 400,000.
Wow.
So it's like a roller coaster lately.
Huh. So you're a little down on Mahjong, huh?
Yeah.
Well, just to give you some hope, I'm over like 1,500,000 club score for this month.
Good so. For you.
Yes, it's been not such a bad month for me.
I hate Mahjong and I hate you.
Yes. In fact, yeah. Speaking of Fight Club, I was in the top for the pros for the tournaments that we had too. Like, you know, our little ranking there.
Yeah, so, way to go.
Way to go, me. I am.
Actually, I made it in the top 13 twice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So you did get a little prize action there.
All right. Bonus.
Very nice, very nice. So that's our little recent Mahjong action. Let's get the Pro League wrap-up here since the pro season ended last month. So the big names would be Tomotake, Nihira, and Furukawa finishing 1, 2, and 3 in A1. And that gives them the tournament with, or the four-person final table, I guess, with Mochizuki, right? Which may have happened already.
Yes, it did happen.
Yes. So stay tuned until next time for the result of that tournament. We'll talk a little bit about that. Other big names in the Pro League. Sawazaki holds on to A2. He had a big, okay finish to finish in fifth place. And Takizawa finished in eighth place in A2. So both of them not going up or down out of A2. Other big names are in B2. The four people moving up. Actually, maybe people haven't heard so much about Kuroki, but we deal a lot with him for Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
But EY Kenta, who won the Champions League, 2 years ago?
He won it right before Hisato Sasaki did.
Right. He's been moving up steadily in the rankings. And
he was actually someone, he came into B2 through the Special League.
Oh, okay. I see.
So he shot right through the rankings.
And he's shooting right through again, moving right up to B1 this time. And below him, both the Nikaido sisters. That's four people moving up, and they shot up into the top four. In the last round, Aki had a huge day, plus 80 day, to actually overtake her sister and take third place. And then Rumi had an okay day to hold on to fourth place and just narrowly beat out Saito somebody or other. So the Nikaido is moving up out of B2 into B1. Way to go them.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Way to go girls.
Girls. Girl power in Mahjong. Other names farther down in the leagues, we've got in the C3 league, Kozue took third place to move up into C2. And Hisato Sasaki, the bane of my Mahjong existence. Not that he really has had that many opportunities to kill me in this situation or that, but...
I want to hear that story later. Let's talk about that after the wrap-up. Yeah.
He took sixth place to move up out of C3 into C2. Although, I remember you saying that he is he's at the top of the Special League.
Yeah,
right?
He was leading the Special League, so I guess we'll see next season if he goes to C1 or B2.
Yeah, I think
C2, if he goes to C2 or shoots up to B2.
Yeah, I think he will probably shoot up a lot further than he actually did just from the Pro League. On the very border of the C3 moving up, people was Watanabe Ikue. She had a pretty good plus day at the end. Plus 35 is not bad at all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but Sugiki got a plus 80 day to just barely overtake her by 3 points.
Oh, my God.
Which has got to be,
poor
what a
Ikue.
Pisser. Yeah.
Ikue is actually the one who introduced us to Renmei.
Right. We have her to thank for our involvement in Renmei.
I really wish she would have moved up. I know she's really been wanting to for
and
so long.
And I'm sure that's such a pisser. Because that's, I mean, you think about it, that's like... That's like one or two reaches that you didn't have to do and like you lost your senten and then your 1,000 points. And then maybe one time when you didn't get, you know, you didn't finish ready at the end. If you just done that like one or two more times, then you'd have that plus three and you're just like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So poor Ikue. Well, yes, maybe she will have a chance. Maybe we can overtake her ourselves
next
year.
Well, we aren't quite joining her yet.
Yes, but we have one more season to join her. Also, our buddy Kamimura. Took 11th. He had a pretty big plus day also, plus 42 in the end, but it was not enough to get him into the top 8 from C3, which would move him to C2. In D1...
The same thing happened to him that happened to me. Like, he was way up there. He was in like 5th place or something, and then he had one huge negative day, his fourth day.
Yeah, his fourth session, he had a big minus 69.
Yeah.
That is definitely going to hurt you.
Yeah, that was the exact same. And it was the same day for us, too. Oh, I remember calling him, and I was just like, dude. And he's like, me too.
That sucks. Let's see. Moving up out of D1 is Izumi. She had one really strong day on the third session, plus 100, and then she just kind of kept it. She maintained herself towards the end to take sixth place in D1. Wanchan is holding on to her D1 status in place 20 there. And Rinka is also, she had kind of a rough bunch of days, it looks like. So she took 30th, so that means that we will be joining Rinka next year because...
Yeah, that's the biggest news, actually,
yes,
of the entire...
Biggest news all the way down here in D2. Most importantly, yes.
Jen most important and Garth, to me.
Yes, it's most important to me, for sure. What is this guy's name again? Oba.
Yeah.
The guy who took first place, Oba. He was the one, like first level person who made it all the way to the end of the.
Yeah, he's grade one like us, and he made it all the way. Or Shodan, if you guys know what that is, he made it all the way to the final table at the 10-tier tournament.
Right, so I guess it shouldn't be that big a surprise that he was able to kill all of us fish down here in the D2 League. But yes, I took 13th place, and 14 people move up, so I had two big days to finish, plus 43 and then plus 49 on our last day to finish plus 73. excuse me. And you finished 9th place.
Yeah, man, the last day, the first game, I lost. I was like, oh, man, it's over.
I remember coming over and looking at your score sheet and saying, oh, my God, what's going on with Jen?
Yeah, I could not win a hand. I remember the very last hand I would have won a 12,000 point hand.
Uh-huh.
If I had I would have drawn my tile the next tile. But the tile right before my draw, the guy won on my left-hand player's discard. So I didn't have a chance to draw. So I missed the 12,000. That 12,000 would have got me in the black.
Wow.
Oh man, it's over. I'm not gonna move up. It's another half year of D2. And look at Garth over there winning that jerk. And then I went on to win 3 games in a row.
Yeah, I noticed. I noticed at the end of that game, like you like walked off and like you were kind of in a huge huff and you kind of went off to the side. Like was there anything you were thinking about to try to get yourself back in the game or like. Like how did you turn it around?
Well,
I mean, it was a huge turnaround, so I'm kind of wondering what you did to pull it off.
I guess I just thought, you know, now I have to go for it, so I started going for it, and, you know, everybody at those tables was on the borderline of moving up, so the thing is, at those tables, nobody wanted to lose that day.
Right. And so,
going for it, yeah. And I had noticed also in the first game there are a lot of plays that were kind of strange, a lot of weights that people had made and hands they had missed and stuff like that. And so, so I kind of saw that, and then I looked for spots that I could kind of go for it, and it worked out.
So the first game you were minus 30.
Yeah.
Minus 30, and then
25 or 30. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so then after that, you must have had a couple huge games. How did you finish? Like first, second, third? Like two first places, three first places?
I had three first places in a row.
Wow.
The first game I lost, and then three first places in a row.
Wow, way to go.
So
yeah, that's a big finish for you. You finished plus 56 on the day.
Yeah.
And after a minus 25 start to make, that's a 70, 80
point
swing.
Point,
yeah. in three games. That is a huge swing. So congratulations to you on moving up. And
congratulations to you.
Thank you. But a little more congratulations to you because you qualify for the special league, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we'll wait to hear about that.
Not sure about me, but I'm pretty sure that I do not actually qualify for the special league, so I do not have that going for me. So that wraps up the pro league.
Have we ever explained the special league?
We may not have actually.
And so we have the pro leagues, which is A1 to D2, and D2 is the lowest, and A1 is the highest. But so if you were going to move up the normal way and just move up, the very quickest you could do it is.
It would be about
four years. 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
Right?
If you moved up one league each session, you could get to A1 conceivably in...
It'd have to be 5 years, because A1 and A2 last for 1 year.
Right, for 1 year, yes. Oh, that's right. So you'd need a whole year to get through
A2. Through A2, right. So what they did is, and since there's so many people in the Japan Professional Mahjong League, what they did last year is introduce a special league for the younger professionals that... You know, everybody wants to move up as quickly as possible. So they have a criteria. So if you make a final table at a big tournament, or if you're in the, I think it's the top 10 of your league and you move up, then you qualify for the special league.
Ah, I see.
And
also, I can understand the reasoning a little bit more because people who have just joined the league are probably still improving faster than people who've been in the league for a while. So those people deserve a little bit more chance, I think, to move up more quickly, right? Because they've just come in. If they are showing strength, they should be given a chance to move up faster than people who have been, you know, languishing in the lower leagues forever.
Yeah, right? I think so too. And I think Kenta Iwai and Hisato Sasaki have proven how useful this league is, because, you know, this is made especially for people like them.
Right. They are strong players who didn't belong in the lower leagues to begin with. They just happened to have to start there. And now they're up in the higher leagues. Well, actually, Sasaki isn't quite yet. But even in the higher league, you know, Iwai was able to move up again.
Yeah.
So he's obviously a strong player. He did not belong in the lower leagues. And the special league, I think, is good for players like that, and hopefully for players like us. what other leagues or tournaments? We had Champions League that we participated in last month. Although, it's not.
It was pretty much over for me the second day.
And
I continued. Actually, the first 2 days I was negative, and then it was over. And the last 3 days I was positive every single day.
Oh, well, that's all right. At least it's a good finish. And one of the things about Champions League is, it's more of a chance for us to just practice and play against people in higher leagues that we don't often get a chance to play against, right? So it was good practice. I also had I was also dead pretty much from day two. So, I think I almost managed to finish positive. But I wasn't too disappointed with my playing. I did not have a lot of chances to do anything. And, it's funny how often I end up at the same table with Sawazaki. But he was really complimentary, you know, and he was really uncomplimentary to some of the other players at our table.
There was a request on the site to add pictures. And we're working on that with the JPML. But for now, we will add links to pictures on JPML's website for people that have them. Not everybody has them, but... We can get them for Nikaido and for all the A-leaguers. So we'll do links for now, and I'll work with JPML to see what we can do about pictures on our site.
All right. One other tournament of note is things are all still up in the air, but the World Series of Mahjong, we're still in talks.
Yeah. Things are looking good.
Yeah, things are looking good. We're hoping to get a reach event into the World Series of Mahjong.
Well, so far the World Series is happening.
Right.
And we're going to be there.
Right.
And we thought it would be a good idea if the World Series added events with different rule sets to their schedule,
right,
their lineup.
To make it, in fact, like you say, a real series.
Yeah, not, so, yeah.
Not just one event, right?
So we're talking about it, and things are looking good, and we'll give you more updates about that in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like one of the things they're interested in is having having some sort of satellite qualifier for the main event.
Right.
So, yeah, it'd be nice to get some people in there from Japan. Hopefully all of we'll have a lot more stuff to talk about that in the near future. All right, and that brings us to today's topic. Something I always have a lot of trouble with, and I'm sure I would imagine everybody has trouble with, and it's the name of our game, so it deserves as much talking as we can give to it, as much discussion as we can give to it. Reach.
Yes, reach.
When do you reach? Right. It's the name of our game, and it's always the biggest problem for me. Like when. When do you reach? Obviously, all right, you can't reach until your hand is ready. But when your hand is ready, as soon as your hand
is
ready.
Some people I've heard reach before their hand is ready.
Yes, one of my favorite tricks. It's an interesting strategy. It still has not worked out for me very well. Yeah, actually, come to think of it, a little aside. Actually, one time it did work out well, I have to say. I did the old not put the put the tile in so that you couldn't, my last tile that I thought made my hand ready. And so then the way the tiles, I thought I had 3, 5, 5, 6, 7, and I drew the 4 so that I would be ready. But in fact, and then I left the 4 on the right side and I didn't actually put it in. But later I looked at my hand and I actually had 3, 5, 6, 6, 7. But I didn't put it in, and as soon as somebody threw away my winning tile, I just said "Broom!" And I showed it quickly, and then I looked at the hidden lucky dragon, and sure enough, I got the hidden lucky dragon too. So I was like, okay, that's 5,200 points, and then I pushed the button and blam, like threw everything in the thing. The guy said, oh yeah, okay, yeah, because like, you know, I didn't put the 4 in, so everybody kind of just looks at it and they're like, oh, I guess that's right. So in fact,
you telling me about that too. We got to put that hand up there so that everyone can see what a donkey
total,
you are.
Absolute donkey I am. Yes. So in fact, you don't necessarily have to be ready to reach.
Yes, but you should be, and we do not recommend reaching without being ready. So let's just have that as our prerequisite for today.
Yes.
Just for today's discussion.
Okay. So first requirement is that your hand is ready.
Okay.
After that, when do you reach? What are some of the things that you consider when you're reaching?
There's tons of theories, and the biggest one that everyone talks about is Sai Shuke, or the final combination.
Ah, yes. I do remember people talking about that. That is a really good point.
The final combination. So, you know, there's lots of ways that you can change your hand, usually. Even if you get ready, like, let's say you have a piece hand, all runs.
Uh-huh.
And one of your runs has a 1 in it, but all the other ones are simples.
Right.
So then if you draw the 4, mm-hmm. then you can change to an all simples plus a piece hand. You know, so that wouldn't be necessarily Sai Shuke, or the final combination.
Right, because you can change it to get a lot more points.
Right.
Oh, that's much better than what I was going to talk about. I had a bunch of different points to
Well, there's a lot. Like, I mean, that's just one of them. That's just one theory. So when you do that, you look at it and you see, you know, are you going to change? If you draw something that can change your hand, will you change it?
Right.
And if you won't, in most cases, it's correct to reach.
Right. The points I had were, for example, say, competition versus Mahjong parlor rules, or, you know, a good weight versus a bad weight,
right.
Or more points versus less points. But in fact, all of those fall under the point that you're talking about, right? If all of these things only really matter if it's still possible for you to change your hand. And I do remember, especially Oi-san,
right.
who quit JPML a year or two ago, one of his big points was always exactly what you said. If you've reached your final hand, your hand is not going to change anymore from now on. That's definitely when to reach, because if you're just going to go with that hand anyway, why wouldn't you make your hand worth more points by reaching with it?
So there's a couple of reasons that even if you are at your final combination that you wouldn't change it. The thing is, if you're playing where you have the Uradora, the hidden lucky tile,
mm-hmm.
and you have the red fives and stuff like that. If you're playing those rules, it's really almost always worth it to reach.
Right.
If you're in your final hand, because, or not your final hand, the final shape of your hand, because the hidden lucky tile is worth so much.
Right.
And the only reason I can really think of not is if your hand is already worth 12,000 or so.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're not the dealer and your hand is worth 12,000, it's worth Hanemon, then I think it would be worth it not to reach, because that's such a huge win that you really want to just bank it.
And once you reach, then people are going to be a lot more careful with your tile.
Right.
There is also the possibility that, if you have the kind of hand that your winning tile is a strange tile, reaching will sometimes help bring it out.
Yeah.
Like let's say you're waiting for the three of dots because you have, let's say, an outside hand. And the six of dots happens to be in your discard pile, then it makes the three of dots a little bit more likely to come out if you reach.
Then you have the octaves of piano keys, so everybody thinks they see the six and they think three and nine are safe.
So sometimes you can help it come out. Although good players are going to see that and they're going to say, there are a lot of good players that'll see something like that and say, wow, that six looks a little suspicious. Like, I'm not going to fall into that stupid trap.
I'm not one of those players, apparently.
Well, yeah, but you never know what
you can use that trick against me. It works a lot.
Yes, it works against me a lot, too. I mean, if I have a hand that I want to go for, that's the first thing I'm looking for is the piano keys I can go and can move off of. But other points about reaching, like the points that I was thinking about, which do fall into what you were saying, but especially like, say, good weight versus bad weight.
Right.
Let's see, you have the one and three, so you're waiting for just the two. If you wait a little bit, you might draw the four. In which case, then you're waiting for the two and five. And like you pointed out before, let's say all the rest of your tiles were simples, and you're waiting for that. You have one and three there. That four is such a huge thing. It not only makes your weight better, but it makes it gives you another hand point. And let's say you had
it gives you two more hand points that case
if they were all runs.
Right.
So you'd get piece and simples in that situation. So that would be a huge chance. An example of when you would reach with that 1-3, even though you could change, is let's say that you had the 5 earlier and you discarded it. At that point, you're not really excited about drawing the 4 anymore because then it makes you into a missed win, right?
Right.
So if you've already thrown away the 5 and, you're like, you get to ready and then you have that crappy weight, well, then a lot of times I think reach might be justifiable there.
Yeah, or if there's no 2s out. Uh-huh. And if the one is the lucky tile, the Dora.
Right. Oh, it's another...
because then you really don't want to discard that tile, so...
Right. So, again, that comes down to the fact, like you say, it's the final shape of your hand. You've thrown away that 5, so you're not going to take the 4 if it comes anyway. So why not reach with it, right?
Right.
And then, of course, like you said, the more or less points thing, and that falls into the... idea there of if you could change your hand to get simples or piece, or another one that worked out perfectly for me a couple days ago in Fight Club, three colored runs, which I generally hate.
Favorite.
Yes, I hate that hand, but and especially in the competition rules, since there isn't going to be a hidden lucky dragon, You want to get as many points, real hand points, into your hand as possible before you reach, and I just happened to wait right for it, and it came, and blam, I got lucky. And so it's one situation where it worked out well, because waiting so that I could change to the three colored runs, I ended up hitting my three colored runs. So
and one time I really like to not reach is when I already have a hand point, and there's big changes.
What do you mean by big changes?
There's big changes, opportunities for big changes.
Uh-huh.
So let's say I already have an simples hand.
Uh-huh.
I have an all simples hand. They're all 2-3-8. And there's a chance I can change it to all runs. There's a chance I can change it to maybe a double run.
Uh-huh.
And I already have my hand point, so I don't have to worry about reaching to get the hand point.
Right. So if somebody does throw your winning tile, you can still win the hand. Right. That is a good situation to wait until maybe there's more points in your hand.
Yeah, sometimes even if there's changes, if you don't have a hand point, sometimes it's better just to reach and scare people off.
Right.
Sometimes.
So and you never know when people might throw your winning tile anyway, and it's an idea that you get from that I've gotten from poker. Slow playing kills.
Yeah.
You know, it's you let weaker hands catch up. And, you know, sometimes it works out in poker, like you let somebody catch up just enough so that they go for it, but then they don't make their hand and you get a lot of points from them. So maybe the same thing can happen a little bit in Mahjong. You let somebody catch up to the point that they don't want to give up their hand, and so then they keep going, and then they end up throwing your winner. But for the most part, I think, you know, you have a much better chance of winning if you get people to give up their hand right from the start.
Yeah.
And so... You know, slow playing kills. I hate it, and I don't. I don't do it in poker anymore, which means actually I play too fast. Most of the time, it's on top pair. And the thing is, I do that in Mahjong too, a fair amount too. You know, I mean, I bet all my chips. I reach with a ready hand. Yeah. My hand is just ready, and sometimes I even do it without a ready hand. Okay, well that was today's topic, when to reach, and it's. I don't know. It is the name of the game, and it's one of those things that I don't know. I think we could spend the rest of our lives trying
yeah,
to learn.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's a lot of people's favorite hand.
Yeah, well, it is by far my most used hand on Fight Club. In my Fight Club statistics. I use it more than like twice as much as the next hand, which I think is probably piece. It's either piece or it's definitely what is it? Value tiles.
Oh yeah.
If you add up all the value tiles together, that is by far the next most used. But even that is still only half as much as reach, right?
Well, because reach is so versatile, and that's one of the reasons why everybody. Especially in Reach Mahjong, way more than the Chinese versions of the game, keeps their hands concealed.
Ah, yes. Because Reach does, yes. Reach adds so much more to your hand.
Right.
Makes it a lot more valuable. All right. That wraps it up for today's topics. Let's see. Was there anything else we had to...
On the website, we added the Ronron tutorial.
Oh, okay.
So everybody can join and start playing Ronron, and we're going to start meetups in March, I think.
All right.
I think we'll start meetups twice a month. And now since they're going to be on Run Run, Garth and I can participate as well. We had some problems with Ten Hole before when Yakitori members were meeting on there. So our official Reach Mahjong meetups will be on Run Run.
All right.
And we'll start that twice a month. And I think twice a month we will have review sessions and go over people's games. And you don't have to... You can choose to become a full member. Uh-huh. And sign up, but you don't have to. Even if you're a free member, you can still join our meetups because they are in the free battle room.
Oh, okay.
And there's three more pages coming for the Ronron tutorial that tells you how to use the free battle room, how to use the chat room, and how to watch games.
Very good.
And everything
exciting.
Else, playing and everything, you can do already if you look at the tutorial. And also, Garth has a new column up. Andy's been blogging.
Oh, yes, right.
And Gemma's in Germany, but she should be back online pretty soon.
All right. Very good, very good.
Lots of exciting things happening.
Yes, cannot wait to get those meetups going. Sounds like fun. All right, I guess that wraps it up for today's podcast.
So. Also, I want to say thank you to Shinya for being our technician.
Thank you very much, Shinya.
And we'd like to say thank you to Andy, because he will be the one who will get this blog up on running after we're done.
All right. Sounds
and
good.
Thank you.
Thank me. Yes, thank me. And thank you. One last point. Jen is going to America today. So
yeah,
good luck at the tables in America.
And I have some good Mahjong meetings going on over there as well. So look forward to updates.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Thanks for listening.
See you later.